Good and happy afternoon, everybody. This is Countermeasures, live on Spotify and Anchor FM. I'm Bruce Nixon.
I'm Greg Rath.
And this is another episode of Countermeasures, brought to you by lots of good people, including OLT Fabrication and Lifeboat Coffee, available on the web, around the world, via the internet. We're happy to be here. It's kind of a weird kind of end of the week here. Greg, we've had so many things going on locally, and we'll probably dive into a few of those things locally. But nationally, we are literally watching the federal government, and both sides of the aisle are guilty of this. We're watching the federal government go from the Jolly Green Giant into a seven-headed hydra.
Yep.
In spending.
Absolutely.
Right? And we kind of been joking about it all week long, like, oh, they're going to get $1 trillion. But, you know, the liberal Democrats in the House of Representatives are going to block that until they get the big $3.5 trillion package.
Well, they got them both.
And they got them both. And then, honestly, look, you and I have known each other a long time. Have you any mindset of, like, I don't, but, I mean, do you have any way to wrap your brain around $1 trillion?
Much less $34 trillion that we're going to be in debt.
Right. And we think about things like, hey, you know what? It cost my family, I don't know, $70,000-$80,000 to operate a year because I've got teenagers at home and you've got teenagers at home and
right.
young adults, right? Yep. So if you think about things, it maybe, okay, a family with kids at home that are of any age, it costs us $100,000 a year to run a family.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That sounds reasonable?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Right. And then we're talking about...
How many times does 100,000 go into a trillion?
I have no idea. If there's any math people listening,
I'm going to work it out right now.
Yeah, you keep please talking. Work it out. But I'm saying that you can't get there from here, right? This is like a magic mushroom that you take when you're in Congress. So I'm going to pop this magic mushroom, and I'm going to invent this giant number, and people are going to go, no way, that number is too big.
Is 1 trillion 3 6 9 0s? I think that's 1 trillion.
Yeah.
That's so big, I don't think I've ever used that number.
I think your calculator might break, actually, if you try to do it, right? But think of it in terms of real money. I don't think it's any longer a valid proposition, right? I think what we're talking about here is so much funny money, so many keystrokes on a keyboard, and so many imaginary numbers that people are like, well, I guess the federal government knows what they're doing. They're doing it, right?
Right.
And there are 535 people in Congress that I don't trust at all. That's where I'm at, Greg.
I agree. Not a single one of them.
And people are like, well, don't you love the Republicans that want to make America great again? No, I don't trust any of these people that would have the gumption to tell me that within the pen a year? That the president's going to spend $4.5 trillion. Oh, and guess what they're calling it, Greg? Infrastructure.
Right.
You know what we get out of that? We'll get a new bridge. Are there a lot of bridges in Arizona?
We got a few.
Well,
Nothing crazy.
But, I mean,
they all look great. The ones that I drive over look great.
But you need new ones.
Got it.
We need new dams.
New what?
New dams. I mean, probably need new dams.
Not if we run out of water.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Where is the money going? We downloaded a story that was written very well from the Dallas Morning News that unpacked a lot of really crazy things, you know, like $80 billion to the existing railroads, because obviously railroads need a lot of money.
You want to hear a funny number?
I do.
$1,200 a month that they're going to give to people that will make less than $150,000 a year. I use a round figure of, let's say, 300 million people. Out of the 330 million that led 300 million times $1,200, that's just a month is $360 billion. So
a year.
No. That's
per month.
That is, let me do it again. So we got, I've never seen numbers this big. So $1,200 times 300, that's 300,000. That's 300 million people. Equals $360 billion
a month.
A month.
How? Well, you still can't get to $1 trillion from there. I mean, it'll take you a year to get there.
So essentially, oh, sure, you can. In a year, it's $4,320,000,000,000. But so you're going to spend every dime. If they did the $1,200
right,
a month
right.
times 300 million people, you're talking $4.3 trillion. They're going to spend it all in 1 year. Where the hell is this money coming from?
Well, it's like I'm a clickety-clack on the keyboard, right? That's all it really is.
Do we have computers that can actually send that many checks out?
Who's the guy pushing the button every day?
Dude,
there's
I want
a guy pushing the button.
I want yeah, I'm one push for the me, button. One for you. One for me, one for you. I can't wrap my head around that kind of money.
Okay. But let's bring it back down to the conversation of Arizona, right? We know from past programming that billions of dollars
40-ish,
right, come from the federal government.
Right.
Which is completely contrived, right? So the question I have for the people listening today, and for you, of course, is what is it, what is enough for you as an individual? Now, I'm just saying, forget about your job right now.
Right.
But as an individual, what is enough? Like, when people are listening to the program, they're going, well, I don't see any problem with people getting relief and building infrastructure. And the federal government, you know, is just fulfilling its mandate. Obviously, we can unpack that. But just you. I mean, I'd like to hear from you. What is it that – is it shocking to your senses that we're talking about trillions of dollars and a federal government so far amok that you really – I mean, you could just step aside and go, all right, fuck it. We're just going to let it go. Or – and that's what I'm interested in now.
I don't know the answer. I mean, I don't think the Republicans are capable of turning this around. You know, I don't think if the Republicans had, you know, Trump raised the debt ceiling. I mean,
I know.
I mean, how the hell?
It's not about right or left anymore. It's just about a federal government that's so out of control. But I mean, for you, like as a man, you wake up in the morning. You take a nice shower. You put on your spoofy under the arms. You get dressed for the day. Is there any day or, you know, that's happened to you personally where you just go, God damn, this is enough. I can't take it anymore. And, I mean, well, if you get there.
I suppose I've said that to myself, you know, because I think about this stuff all the time. I don't know what the answer is. And the problem is it's so big. And it's so convoluted, it's so confusing, it's so enormous, it's so out of control, the seven-headed Hydra, that it'll drive you mad thinking about it. So guess what you do? You do one of two things. You become some sort of idiot that sits and trolls social media and make yourself a bigger idiot, or you go to work, you keep your head down, and you worry about your own. The problem is that's what they're counting on.
Exactly right. I that's what I'm saying. I think we just compartmentalize it to the point where
absolutely
we just dive in and we do our job, we do whatever we need to do, and then we're like, well, there's nothing we can be, you know. You could drive yourself completely batshit crazy thinking about the things that they're
trying to do. These people that are running our government should absolutely be ashamed of themselves that they're letting this happen. And you know, I mean, they package it up. I mean, you know, when you stick lipstick on a pig, the son of a bitch is still a pig. It don't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter at all. And I guess, you know, I shake my head in disbelief that these people, it's akin to, remember when the kids were growing up, mom, dad, write a check. And I get that, but
like
that's how
my kid's doing to me, yeah.
Right, and that's what they're doing. They just, let's just write a check. Everybody else in the entire world, every other business other than the government, cannot spend more money than they're supposed to or they go out of business.
Right.
I think what we need, the only thing that I believe that will shock the conscience enough is a 40% unemployment and food line. But I think that's what they want. I think there is a greater plan that they want this big reset to occur, And then they're going to come in, and that's when this federal government is going to be nanny state. Let's take care of you. We can take care of everybody else. I mean, they've tried to federalize everything. They federalized all the money. And, you know, if you don't go along and get along, you're not going to get the money from the feds that gets collected in income taxes. Right. So, you know, so I think that's the I think that's the big ploy. I really do. I think.
What about this? Let me throw this at you. Are we already there? Like you're saying it's coming. What if I told you I think it's already there?
Well, I think if it's not already there, the mechanism is there to do it.
Well, I think this. I mean, it sounds so bizarre. Like I don't want to be Art Bell in late night radio, but you remember Art Bell late night radio?
Yeah.
Live from the Kingdom of Nye, right? A great entertainment, right?
Sure.
But you don't want to go too far afield to sound like Art Bell. But at the same time, you're like, we really literally live in everything you just described, and there isn't a way out, right? Without saying
what's infuriating, and again, this may sound selfish to you people out there that make less money or whatever, or. And I really could give a shit. But I tell you, I went to school on my own dime.
Right. I did too.
I raised my children. When my wife and I got married, we didn't have two nickels to rub together. We had probably $30,000 in debt. But we lived within our means. We decided to have children. Decided to have children. We didn't just have them because that was the thing to do. We saved. Got our careers rolling, knew that we had insurance, stuff that we earned, not that we were entitled to. We made educated decisions on life. And then we bought a small house. And it was an old rental, and it was a basket case, put in some sweat equity on the weekends, and painted it, fixed it, cleaned it. I shoveled rock every night after work, cleaned it all up, and it was the nicest house on the block. And it wasn't money. I didn't have a whole lot of money, but I put my sweat equity into it. And you know who watched me do that? My wife, my neighbors, and my kids. And, you know, all my kids are doing very well. They're going to school. They got scholarships because they were smart, because we raised our children correctly. And, you know, it wasn't that hard. It was just being disciplined with the decisions that we made. And I guess I just resent the hell out of the fact that the $25,000, $30,000 a year in taxes, $40,000 a year in taxes, maybe even more depending on how you add it up, are going to people that didn't earn it.
And don't care to. I think this is where we're at. And I are approximately the same age. Mm-hmm. I may be a couple of years older, but whatever.
You may be.
I may be. But my point is, people behind us, generationally, expect this entitlement program to be expanded. And in fact, if you read the Wall Street Journal or the Dallas Morning News or any New York Times, they're going to say that under this current budget proposal, which is going to pass because no Republican can stop it, the entitlement programs of the United States will grow not just tenfold, but a thousandfold. We're talking about injecting tens of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars into a Medicaid program to serve people who
and that doesn't
are,
include the $360 billion a month or whatever the hell it was that we're just going to give away to people because...
And that's just an also-ran, right? But and I don't want to be too controversial because let me frame
it this way. I don't think there's anything controversial about it.
Let me frame it this way. I love everybody.
I don't.
No, I love everybody until you prove me otherwise. Okay, can we start there?
Okay.
Would you agree with that?
All right.
Right? But let me put it, I guess what I'm saying is this. You have Maria and her seven children who've lost their father, and they're going to come across from Guatemala through the Sonoran Desert across into Arizona, which right. is where we live, right? And Maria and her children are going to run into my sister-in-law, who's a Puerto Rican refugee, who's going to teach them how to get every nickel, dime, and penny from the county. And the state for free.
Okay.
A driver's license, money every month, access insurance for the children. as an example, what do you say to Maria and her family? Right? Did you?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is the Democratic mind frame. This is what we're doing because this is justice. This is beauty. Why would you say no to Maria and her children?
Well, that's how they sell things. That's how they sell you to raise your own taxes and vote to raise your own taxes. You just scare you with cops, firefighters, children, and old people. And so the money that they should be spending on those types of programs, which are necessary, they take that money and they spend it on things that they want to spend and then scare the hell out of everybody so you raise your own, you vote to raise your taxes. I mean, it's just...
I guess that's my point. What I'm saying is if we had to make a prudential decision as Americans, as Arizonans, right, it would be you can't cross the border illegally because we can't account for you, and then you're going to be a burden on everyone because they're just going to make up money to pay for you.
You know what? Right? I tell you what. Let's just stop worrying about the people south of the border. I mean... Let's just say we didn't have the problem south of the border. They're still spending money hand over fist for the people that are here.
I'm just saying as an example, there's hundreds of billions of dollars going to that.
There's all kinds of money being spent.
Hundreds of billions. But you go back over, we talked about it earlier today. The telecom companies that build the internet mm-hmm. are now going to be forced under this new proposal, excuse my French, to... expand their reach for cable internet access into every community in America that doesn't currently have robust internet access so that the government can pay those companies to allow everyone to have the internet basically for free.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
It's BS. I think it's...
But you pay taxes so that other people can surf the net, bro. Right?
Now, I will tell you, and we talked about this today, I agree, because it's part of this first one point whatever trillion, $111 billion for water infrastructure, $100 billion for universal broadband. So I think that's crap. I'm paying $100 a month for my my broadband, and so somebody else is going to get it for free. But I will agree... that I think the internet is part of the infrastructure now. I think it's as important as electricity. I think it's as important as water. I think it's as important as a lot of infrastructure, roads, bridges, the whole nine yards. But we have libraries. We have all kinds of places that are subsidized schools that are subsidized by the federal government already. If you need to use the internet... And I'm not talking to surf porn. I'm not talking to...
Which is also allowed under the First Amendment, apparently.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But if you... It's, again, it's you know, just like the Obama phone. I mean, everybody has a right to have a telephone. Well, where does it end? I mean, are we all going to have, you know, I want a better car. I mean, are you going to pay for that for me? I deserve
or
a bigger
car. Let's not worry about a better car. How about a car?
I mean, we all live in Arizona.
What about a house?
Well, what about a pool?
What about an air conditioner?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, this is...
Tell you when I grew up, we didn't have an air conditioner. I had a freaking cooler. And I wasn't bitching. And we had a great life.
Yeah, but you're obviously mighty whitey. Obviously, you're on the public dole. Obviously, right? I mean, this is why you don't understand. That's the problem. You don't understand because you are... the problem. That's what they'll tell you. And that's the sadness of this all is because there is a madness there, right? But you can't understand it because you have a certain worldview that was given to you at birth. And that's what they'll tell you right to your face.
Oh, no, I've been told that. And I don't know. It's
irksome because you can't sort it out. There's so much information. It's almost impossible to sort it out, right? We talk about these things ad nauseum. And then we're like, well, is there a solution? If there is a solution, we're really striving for it because how can we get Arizona back under control? Like, where does it stop here?
Well, the I mean, if I waved a magic wand and I was king for a day, I would tell the federal government to take their $40 billion and shove it so we could run our own damn state and not have the federal government telling us how we're going to do things. But
which I think is the greatest plan ever.
Somehow we got to figure out how to keep that $40 billion instead of paying income taxes to the federal government, keep that money here.
All right, but I think you're rational enough to know that it's not real money. They just made it up. The federal government makes up numbers and just sends it back to the states. They're not actually...
Yeah, because part of that $40 billion, how much of that is part of the debt?
I just think they make it up. I mean, I don't think if you really...
I don't know how you would figure that out.
I think we looked at the budget a few shows back.
Right.
There's no way, dude. Unless you're a forensic accountant with a 1,000-person staff, you're not going to figure that out. But when you nut it all down and you said to the state, how much can we collect from the city and the county and the state? How much money can we collect? And they said, let's round it up to $15 billion a year. Then our budget should be around $17, $18 billion a year because we can account for growth.
Right.
Right? And we're going to get that money back. And to me, that's reasonable, right?
Well, I wonder how many programs we would have to cut not getting the $40 billion a year from the feds.
Well, you'd have to cut a lot of them. But honestly, let's just call bullshit where bullshit is, right? We have such a bureaucracy at every level, city, county, state. And it's not just Maricopa County. Although that's the biggest county, obviously. But every county has a bureaucracy. When we did Red for Ed, we uncovered on the news. There's a school district where they have one school, one superintendent. The school's running on an X amount of money budget. And the superintendent that's overseeing schools is making $250,000 a year to oversee one school. That's the type of waste that we can eliminate quickly, right?
I agree.
Oh, you're such a great administrator. Imagine that was you. I would say, Greg, you're overseeing a school. I'm going to give you $100,000 a year to make sure to run smoothly. I think that's fair.
Okay.
Oh, no, I need $250,000, and I need benefits. I need a car. Come on. Wouldn't you expect to be smacked in the face to say something like that?
No,
but they do it all over the state.
They do it all over the place.
Which is my point, right? Somebody needs to make prudential judgments. And then just people go willy-nilly over this craziness, especially in education. Or the police department. Imagine, what did retired Jack say today? That in that police budget in Phoenix at $700 million, that Phoenix PD actually has to pay Parks and Rec to take care of adjacencies and all kinds of crazy stuff within the budget.
Yeah, I remember one time when I was working out of Maryvale Precinct, and it was something silly. It was like $80,000 or $90,000 a year to take care of a little bit of grass and, I don't know, part of dump trash and some other stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, $90,000, $80,000 a year. I told the commander, tongue in cheek, I go, if you want to save $40,000, for $40,000 a year, I'll come out and I'll haul the trash off and I'll run the lawnmower and I could get this thing done in, you know,
half
no
time,
time.
Yeah.
You know. And, but, you know, and he laughed and he agreed. But, you know.
But this is what we're talking about. This is raw waste, mm-hmm. right? If you think about the legitimacy of all this stuff, right? Do we really need the type of budgetary allocations that we currently have? The answer is no.
No.
But nobody has the balls or the moral stones to stand up to anybody with a group of people and say, enough is enough.
Well, the money, if you work for the government, the mentality is the money is free.
Right.
The money is free.
Right.
No matter where it comes from, it doesn't matter. It's free. You know, I remember when we built the courthouse downtown and I'm walking through and I'm looking at all this stainless steel work and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, and I being in the steel business, know how expensive some of this stuff is. And I'm just looking at it and I'm like, this is a courthouse. It's for court business. Why should it look like the Taj Mahal? Yeah. You want to put a nice facade on the outside to make it look good for downtown. I get it. But why? Why in the name of Zeus's butthole are we spending money like that? It's mad. And that's just one building.
Right. And I think we can't reiterate enough. In fact, if you just tuned in, it's Countermeasures. I'm Bruce Nixon.
Greg Rath.
And we're sponsored by OLT Fabrication, 2301 West Broadway, right here in Phoenix. For any erection needs, large or small, or steel work in general, call 602-276-4841. Again, that's 602-276-4841.
Don't forget about Lifeboat Coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Lifeboat Coffee is at 7th Street in Dunlap. You can go to lifeboatcoffee.com. Come by. I'm there once in a while. And, you know, and we can talk about things. You want to ask me questions about police work, some of the DOJ stuff that's going on, or consent decree, any of that kind of stuff. I'd love to chat with you to just kind of give you an idea of what's going on. But anyways, back to the program.
Yeah, I mean, those are all important things, and there are details that need to be happened and hashed out in person, I think, at the coffee shop. But I think let's just dial this back. I mean, we're kind of in the weeds, right? I mean, I want to know if anybody listening to the program really honestly in their heart of hearts believes that the federal government is responsible for everything in the day-to-day. How did that happen? I mean, that's a legitimate question. How did it happen?
I am seriously depressed right now.
I am. But, I mean, did you ever think you'd live to see the day where the federal government was husband, nanny, lover, bitch to everybody in America?
No. No, I did not.
No, right? Because we're like, hey, you know, we need an army.
What happened to
we
the good
need a
old,
post office.
What happened to the good old days when people took pride in themselves and were embarrassed to be on food stamps?
Oh, dude, that ship has sailed, dude. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up. We both know families that have some sort of public school affiliation, perhaps some, not necessarily access, but maybe access health insurance through the county. And when COVID started, I just learned this a few days ago from a family member, that if you have kids of a certain age that are in school and they miss, you know, out on their free lunch, you know that schools come with free lunch. You know that, right? They come with free breakfast, free lunch, and if
not
you're
all of them, but I mean, yes, there's a lot. It's supposed to be for kids that are need. Every school will do that, but there are schools that are just saying, "Screw it, we'll do it for everybody."
Right, but I mean, have you ever heard of a public school in the last 10 years that doesn't serve meals?
Oh no, no, they all do.
Yeah, that's my point.
No, yeah, but
so
I wouldn't say it's
everybody.
If
kids couldn't go to school because of COVID, these families are getting plastic cards.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Plastic cards in the mail because your kid couldn't go to school, but, you know, he still needs to eat or
so
she needs to eat.
We should take care of them.
And we're going to give you $400.
You know, maybe you should have wore a condom. Maybe you shouldn't have had children if you can't afford them. If you can't afford to feed your children, what the hell's the matter with you?
And that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up.
No. We should abort them.
Oh, wait.
We should abort them. Did
that
I go
is,
there?
That is the
did,
go-to.
Did I go there?
You did. That is the go-to. Ooh. Sorry, I had to take a drink of water because this is so good. I love this because you're bringing up two gigantic things. Number one, if your kid's not in school getting free lunch, and we're going to have to send you a plastic debit card
that's
$400 per school year? Per kid. And that's per kid. Yes, please. That is per kid. So that makes me kind of laugh out loud because your kid is not in school. Whose responsibility is it to feed your child? Somehow it's the state's responsibility. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that's why you're like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. This can't be real, right? But it's real. They're getting $400 per child who's enrolled in school who missed COVID. And this year,
Hold on.
It's Perrier if you're watching from home. Not vodka soda, as I requested, damn it.
Right?
Anyway.
Oh, listen to that.
Isn't
that a beautiful sound? Beautiful sound.
It's really good. I love it. And, you know, it's almost as good as asking for a Grey Poupon. Pardon me. Do you have any Grey Poupon?
No, that's for.
All right, so we're not feeding them in school because they're not in person. So instead of saving the money, there's printing plastic cards, finding mailing services, and mailing cards to people's homes over Arizona.
And they're just, you can use them anywhere.
Anywhere.
Anything. It's, you know,
anything for anything, right?
Right, they're just a Visa
card. The only
thing
you can't buy on the card is liquor and cigarettes.
And they're probably they're probably figuring out how to do that too.
I'll trade you three packs of ham for a bottle.
There are unscrupulous businesses that will give you. They'll buy that card.
They'll just ring it up the wrong way.
Or what they do is they'll cash out. They'll say, "Okay, you got $100 on here. We'll give you $50."
And I'll take the balance.
And exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they make $50. But I think the easier way around it would be like I'm at the store. I know the guy. I'm going to buy, you know, a handle of vodka and whatever I want, and then he's going to ring me up for 7 tacos.
Right.
Right, because that's neither here nor there. Instead of the government saving money, they spent extra money to print cards, distribute cards, and give every kid.
John, I wonder why they're doing this. Do you have an answer of why they're giving all this free money?
I have an answer, but I'd like to hear yours first.
Oh, they want power.
They want loyalty.
They want loyalty, so you vote for them. Right?
But isn't it the most like silliest thing on the whole planet? Like, hey, it used to be, as you say, when you and I were younger. And let's frame it this way. I don't want the show to go on without us framing it this way. I absolutely 100% agree with states, not the federal government, with states having the ability to stand in the gap to help people who have fallen short. Legitimately. I don't mean drug addicts. I don't mean transient fucking drug population. I don't mean a lot of things.
Right.
But let's just say it was me. I'll take myself as an example. Okay. I'm a single guy. I was working in construction and the developments dried up and I found myself on hard luck and I needed 6 to 8 weeks of assistance. That's what I'm talking about. Or a mom.
What about Tara? What about Tara? Tara has an autoimmune disease.
Right.
Her son has an autoimmune disease. And she goes to 30, 40 appointments a month trying to keep her son alive and healthy.
Right.
Going to school. She can barely make ends meet. Thank God her mom helps her. And she confided in me the other day that she went on food stamps. She is completely embarrassed. But what I told her is that's what it's for. Those are unforeseen flukes.
Right. It's not supposed to mean to her or anyone else.
Go pop out 12 children and get $500 a kid.
Not just that, but it's not intended to be a 6, 8, 12
year
thing, right?
Right.
And I think we agree on that. So I just want to set that stage. I don't want anybody to think that we're not in favor of justice. Justice in a society demands that we help people.
Yeah, there should be a net.
When they need help, right?
A legitimate one.
And I agree
one.
With the Medicaid net as well. Like if you weren't working for the city and you got hurt in an accident and you didn't have good coverage at the emergency room, they would patch you up for free. That's the law. I agree with that. I don't have any problem with that. But what we've turned that into is on the Medicaid side, we want to give every immigrant, whether they're here by running across the border or they flew in for an airplane or whatever. They're not supposed to be here. They get it all free. They get the food stamps for free now. They get a driver's license here in Arizona, by the way, for free. They get it all for free. They're not paying any fees. That is abhorrent. That's billions of dollars a year. Moreover, there's generational poverty where the Democrats have enshrined poverty for power.
Absolutely.
In other words, you can't do it. We're going to do it for you, and you can live in tenement housing for as long as you need to, and your kids are going to be in this tenement housing, and you're going to get a SNAP card, you're going to get access, you're going to have this stuff, and it's only fair that Greg and his family that work very hard, that are affluent in their eyes, pay your bill. Then that's what they framed it as,
yep,
an issue of fairness, that, hey, and from my vantage point, I would say, I would be affronted if you told me I can't do it, I'd be like, mother bleep bleep, mm-hmm, I'm going to do it.
No, you can't do it.
I might need a little help on the way. But
John, you're not capable.
You know what I'm saying.
I know.
Right. So that's where we are. Now we've got all this avalanche of bullshit here in the state. And everybody's just like, well, we're going to have to live with it because that's the way it is. How many times have you heard that? You can't change the system. It is the way it is. It is what it is. I mean, people use these idioms of
stupidity. It's grown out of control.
And it is so far out of control, everything is at risk, right? Because they're so, I don't even, I mean, grocery stores participate, right? Because if you look at it, I go to the store every day to supply the coffee shop. I see that SNAP card that says Arizona every single day.
Right.
Right? From people next to me checking out every single day. I'm not going to say it's 1 in 5, but it might be 1 in 10.
Right.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. Right? And
well, let's say 10% of what, 7 million people? That's is that 700,000 people?
Might be. But I see the Arizona issues a card for unemployment benefits.
Right.
And I own a cafe.
Right.
I see them every single day. People spending unemployment benefits during the pandemic. I'm not begrudging them. I'm just saying there is so much money flying around the ether and so many plastic cards in the world. How much do you think it costs to make a plastic card? 50 cents, 60 cents per person to get it to you?
Right.
They got to print it and mail it to you. Say a little less than a dollar. Now we're talking about 7, 8% of the population. We're spending billions of dollars to just get it to you, right? Where it used to be a little coupon book they could print at Joe's printer and just send it to you. But you've pointed out in this program many times before that you don't want to be embarrassed with a coupon anymore.
Right.
To pull food stamps from a coupon.
Yeah, because, yeah, you don't want to look poor.
We got to create Women and Infants facade. And Children program, the WIC program that's been around forever and a day, they still have little coupons they have to pull.
Yeah,
they you can apply for a card.
Yeah.
And but there, I guess what I'm saying, which is fascinating, there are so many programs. We could do a radio program of 60 minutes in length and not scratch the surface of how many programs there are.
You know what? I think that'd be a great next program.
To actually unpack them all.
How many different state programs? Not federal, because there's probably a boatload of those.
Yeah.
But how many state programs, how many state entitlement programs are there? God, there's got to be dozens.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, there's different stages of welfare from the county, from the city. There's state programs. I mean, it would be juicy.
And that all that does is encourage poor behavior.
Well, I don't think we've had much of success in watching subsequent generations step up as tradespeople. And again, I don't want this to be an attack on any person's character, but I think developers and the big people that hire all these people from across the border without credentials, I think they ought to be prosecuted. But let's save that for another program. You got people that are willing to work here that can't get jobs.
Are they really though? Well, if we're giving them $1,200 a month and all these COVID benefits, why would they even work?
Okay, you're right, and that's fair. What I meant to say was before COVID.
Ah,
right.
Ah,
when we hire illegal immigrants and all these other people that are in a right to work at will state, you have to pay these guys. I mean, they're making what, $10 an hour maybe to swing in a hammer. To build these $500,000 homes?
Well, now it's 15 an hour because that's minimum wage.
Maybe. But I'm just saying, whatever it is.
Right.
It is. When I was an apprentice carpenter in San Francisco in 1990, our starting wage as an apprentice carpenter was $18.45 an hour in 1990.
Well, back then you could probably buy a new truck if you were making that kind of money.
Probably. And when you journeymaned out, you were making $33, $34 an hour. Well, and I'm not here to talk about wage decay, but I'm getting at the people that, I mean, look across every sector. We have the coffee shop at 7th Street and Dunlap. The brewery next door can't find people to work. They don't want to work. Why? Because they're being paid to stay home.
Correct.
That's really weird. I mean, to me, I'm just
saying.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think there's a ploy here? I mean, because if you were a business that were having a hard time, if you had a business and you were having a hard time getting employees, a lot of times you do signing bonuses or you raise wages and stuff like that.
Right.
Do you think this is an artificial insemination of
the minimum wage.
Not even necessarily minimum wage. Just you got to force these guys to pay more money. I mean, if I give you close to minimum wage and you don't have to go to work, why go to work for minimum wage?
That's a classic example. I think you're right. In Sunny Slope and Scottsdale, like, dishwashers are earning $20 an hour. And that should shock you.
Right.
Right, because dishwashers used to be minimum wage jobs.
Right.
But they can't get anybody to work, and you can't have a restaurant without the dishwasher.
Right.
So they're paying them $20 an hour.
Right. And guess what happens? Do you think that's coming out of the bottom line? No.
No, consumer prices.
Consumer prices go up. But that's the last, in my opinion, that's the last piece of the puzzle of the federal government that's trying to figure out how we can access the profits of these businesses, because that's where the money, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to say, you're making too much money, John. You're making too much money. So let's force these wages up, but somehow it's still not going to come out of your pocket. It's going to be passed on to the consumer.
That is the principal lesson of trickle-down economics that Ronald Reagan was trying to teach a generation of people, that it doesn't matter how much you attempt to tax corporations or small business or people for that matter. In the end user, whether it be the retail consumer or someone in the downstream of you, is going to pay the brunt of that until you can't do business. Now, I'll give you an example.
And hence comes the injustice that poor people have to pay more money. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's and then they wrap that up into injustice of
absolutely.
Some sort.
Absolutely. But I'll give you an example. I mean, if they were to raise minimum wage in my cafe let's say they pumped it up to $15 an hour, right? And you're talking about, we work people average shifts of 3-4 hours a day. That would be an additional $12 a day. People are like, well, how can you not afford that? Well, because I already have to cover the initial nut of the original wages.
Right.
Right? But you have to make, we're talking about 40% greater every hour to cover that hourly wage. It's just not possible.
Right.
Unless I raise prices.
But then people go somewhere else.
And they will go to McDonald's. Because McDonald's will offer you a piece of shit sausage McMuffin for $4 and tax. When you come to my shop, you get fresh prepared food that costs you $7.50. Right?
Right.
So, again, it's not about the taxes per se. It's about the ability for anybody to be able to absorb taxes and say, well, I have to pass them on, right? If they raise business tax on things, inflation occurs. Oh, is that what's happening right now? Do we have a 5 to 7% inflation rate, right?
Yeah.
Across the board.
Right.
Milk was $1.99 a gallon. Now it's $2.50.
How long has Biden been in office, and where's the gas price?
Well, he was on TV the other day, and by 2 days ago, saying, aren't you guys proud of me as president? I got the gas prices down. And let's be honest. The president doesn't have any shit to do with the economy. I don't give a shit what anybody says. The president is a guy. He's supposed to be a great CEO of a country doing great things, but he can only ask the Congress to act. He can say whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah, but
to.
What he can do is he can perpetuate what Congress is doing, and that scares the hell out of investors.
No. I agree with that. I'm saying, aside from the psychological warfare,
which is what it is.
Right. There's no president left or right that's, I wave my hand and gas prices will go down. I mean, that's an unreasonable expectation. But on the other hand, when the stock markets get spooked and the oil futures get spooked, prices rise. Right? And you can't avoid that. I mean, this is just people, right?
And when you start talking about raising taxes and spending money you don't have and that sort of thing, that's going to scare these investors.
Well, I don't know how much longer this seller's market in residential real estate is going to last. Because, frankly, where's everybody getting the money to buy these places, right? You think about this big bubble from COVID-19 and this Phoenix, especially this real estate market has exploded.
Right.
Right?
Well, you got people moving in. So, I mean, that's... you know, the, obviously that's fueling it, and it's, you know, you
but that can't possibly be the whole thing.
I don't know, man. When you got a lot of people coming from fleeing California, I mean, I don't know what the numbers are, but I hear about it all the time. And so you, let's say you sell a house like mine. Mine's probably worth $400,000 or $500,000, and this house in anywhere in California is going to be worth twice that, probably $800,000-$900,000.
Easy.
And then
in a ghetto, yeah.
You know, then you come with a $900,000, $900,000 in your pocket. You know, and then you can come in, you know, so you, that's, I really think that's what happens. But, and you know, but that's part of a, that's also part of a free economy too. I mean, I don't really have a major issue with that, but.
No, I was just getting at the ability to pay for things.
Right.
Seems to be disappearing.
Right? Sure.
I'm not saying that.
The gas prices
drop,
gone up.
If you sell $1 million property in California, you can buy a house in Arizona. That's true. But what are you going to do when you're here? Right. I mean,
sure.
You talk about the economy. It's one thing to inject money into the housing sector, but the economy is driven by ongoing wage earners. And it was always that, but you're a townie. You're from here. All those high rises on Central Avenue. I'm like, who works there? What do they do? I mean, it's like a little tiny weird skyline. You know what I mean?
Freaking lawyers,
insurance
probably.
Insurance companies and lawyers and banks. But it's kind of funny how it runs up and down Central.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know, dude. I'm going through this Dallas Morning News, and I'm just reading. I'm just
$80 billion for railroads, $110 billion for...
$550 billion for transportation.
What does that mean? You know what that means? It means they're going to buy new buses and light rail vehicles and bullshit in every municipality in America.
Right.
And what purview does the federal government have to change our streetcars? None. They don't have any, but they're going to do it.
They're going to do it, and they're going to force
and
you to do it.
You know what Phoenix is going to do? The leadership is going to jump up and down and go, oh, my God, we just so needed so many more trains, and now we can finish light rail into the Metro Center. And, oh, my gosh, I want to take light rail down to South Mountain. They're going to say stuff like that.
Yeah, but why would you go down to South Mountain? There's nothing there. I mean, the people live there. I get it. But, I mean...
Well, you want people to go to work. They built light rail.
Well, you can't take light rail to go to work unless you work in the half dozen buildings that are down in Central Phoenix. I mean, it really doesn't do jack for you. And do you really want to park?
But that's how they sold your $1 billion-a-year business, there, buddy.
Oh my God, it's just
they had to move people to work. The whole point of public transportation is to move people for work.
Yeah, but they're not going anywhere. The way this city's laid out, it just doesn't work that way.
I'm just saying that's how they sold it to you.
Of course they did.
Oh, by the way, you recall, just as a for instance of how government works, when they put the bond initiative for light rail out the first time, it failed miserably. So they did it again and again and again.
Yeah.
The same with Bank One Ballpark.
Yep.
When I was with Fox News, they put out the big thing, right?
Yep.
Hey, do you guys want Bank One Ballpark? The people said no.
No.
They did it anyway.
They did it anyway.
Now, how does that work?
Is that a representative government?
No,
that's an extreme representative government is what that is. You know what? You don't know. You just don't know better. You know what? We're smarter than you.
I know we asked you, but you really don't know. We're going to do it anyway.
You're dumb.
And this is what happens
bigger,
at the federal level, right?
Yeah.
Again, how many times can we say this? 537 people running an entire country because they think they know better than we do. And they have openly... treasonous, seditious rat bastards in Congress that really hate America, and that bothers me a lot, right?
Yep.
And everybody's like, what? What do you mean, what? Oughtn't that be against the law? If you hate America that much, should you be able to serve in Congress?
No.
No.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't.
I mean, I'm like... Every time we open our mouth,
I mean, if I hated the United States, why in God's name would I go? I mean, I could earn a heck of a lot more money. Why would I go to Congress? Why would I do that if I hated America?
Unless you wanted to reshape it into European socialism.
Nonsense.
Right?
Nonsense.
I mean, think about it in those terms. Europe is running headlong away from European socialism. Oh, I'm sorry. But while the United States seems to be running toward it.
And I guess what I don't understand is there are umpteen examples of that not working, and that's why they're running away from it. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
There's so much. I think we can sum it up this way. Those who have power want more power. Those who have money want more money. The rest of us just kind of watch in disbelief as they pretend to be just and fair and good and true. And they act as if they are gods with a little G. I really think that's what we're watching.
No, I agree with you there. I agree with that. My suggestion to the parents that are out there listening, you better educate your children on how the country is supposed to run. You know, understand the Constitution. Understand the way we're truly supposed to work. Because this isn't it, guys. This isn't it. And we're heading down a horrible, horrible path right now. I don't know. I'm extreme. I am. You know, thank God I'm going hunting tomorrow. Because... You know,
maybe we'll take this out on something. Hopefully it's tasty something.
Yeah, well, it's actually a scout trip. We're going to go scout for elk because I got an elk hunt. But
so if you scout, you can't shoot?
No, you cannot.
Okay. What if you do?
Then you go to jail. Then I will visit you.
Really?
Yeah, it's against the law to shoot something out of season.
Like they literally put you in jail or you get a fine? Yeah,
it's criminal. It's usually a fine. It's usually fine, but they'll give you a citation.
Can you keep the meat, though?
No, they will take that, and they will donate it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
So don't shoot anything tomorrow.
No, not going to shoot anything. Not going to shoot anything, but we're going to go buzz around the forest and see where they are and hopefully get an idea where we're going to be. And
This is completely non sequitur for the listeners, but we're right at the end of the wall here.
Sure.
Great program because there's so much to talk about. We'll hit it on more next week as well. But the idea that the conversation can happen like this, and people need to understand that everyone needs to have this conversation. I don't claim to have an answer. I don't think you claim to have an answer, but we have to have the conversation to see.
Oh, I have the answer, but I can't say it on the radio.
Well, I was trying to save you from that.
Right. I'm not saying anything.
Yeah. So the non sequitur is, if you do bag an elk, can you make me an elk ribeye when you get back?
Dude, you haven't lived until you had an elk ribeye. You haven't lived. It is orgasmic.
Orgasmic.
Yeah, we'll throw it on the smoker.
Ooh.
Do a little reverse sear.
Ooh.
You know, lots of butter, lots of garlic. Yes, it is spectacular.
Just like Countermeasures on Spotify and Anchor FM, brought to you by Lifeboat Coffee and 1OLT Fabrication at something something Broadway. I can't read the card upside down.
It's 2301 West Broadway.
Okay. What's the phone number?
I don't know. 276-4841, 602.
All right. Hey, listen, I hope everybody has a beautiful weekend. We're going to pick up where we left off.
We're going to talk about entitlement programs next time.
Yeah, we're going to really nail that down. We're going to do our homework. We want you to, I mean, to me, it's so fantastic. And I don't mean good fantastic. I mean,
bullshit fantastic.
I mean, incredulous. It's so incredulous that we have to talk about this stuff because we're all just going to the workaday world. Hey, how you doing, Greg? Hey, how you doing down there, Bruce? Now, hey, everybody's good? Yeah. How about those billions and billions and billions of stars, Carl Sagan? Oh, they're dollars. Yeah. You remember Carl Sagan?
Yeah.
Anyway. Thanks for tuning in this week. We hope you had an enjoyable evening with us. And we will speak at you again next week with the Reverend Jackson will be in the house.
Really?
He's coming over.
Awesome.
I just wanted to let you know. You good with that?
Yes.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And baby Jesus, thank you for this food tonight. Appreciate it.
Honest to God, we haven't had a drink. All right. Say goodnight.
Gracie. Good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
Again, thanks for tuning in to Countermeasures. We'll talk to you next week.